Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God that is the basis for our meditation this morning is the gospel reading from Mark chapter 4 that was read a few minutes ago. Church attendance at an all-time low. Record number of churches closed. Church bodies facing severe revenue shortfalls. Those are just a few of the headlines that have been popping up with more and more frequency in newspapers and magazines over the past few years. And this is so also in our own synod, and yes, as you know, also here in this congregation. We hear the dire statistics all the time. But then I'm reminded of what Albert Einstein once said. Not everything that can be counted counts, and not everything that counts can be counted. Or, as the head of the church, our Lord Jesus says here in today's gospel reading, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. And this parable of a seed growing secretly in the ground is a very pointed illustration and picture of the truth that the kingdom of God, the church, is not an earthly kingdom, but a spiritual one. It is not, therefore, something that can be seen, can be measured, you know, by human standards, by statistics, by counting. But rather, it is hidden. Hidden in the hearts of people. Hidden, as St. Paul says in today's epistle reading, in the weakness of our earthly tent, that is, our bodies. Hidden, yes, in this world amidst all of the grand and glorious and visible kingdoms of the world. And is not this truth often the problem that so many have when thinking and talking about the church? The problem, yes, that we too probably have when you look at your own congregation and when we consider our own personal relationship with God. After all, we tend to regard the church as some kind of visible entity. We think of the church in terms of numbers and programs, buildings and organizations, or the lack of them. Although we might confess in the creed, I believe in the one holy Christian and apostolic church, what we really mean and what we want to say is I see the one holy Christian and apostolic church. And then when we hear Jesus' parable, the growing seed, we think that the contrast he is picturing is between the humble beginnings of the church and then that widespread, powerful, glorious organization that it would, or at least should, become. But that is not the point of Jesus' parable. Rather, the contrast that he is setting forth here is between the hidden nature of the kingdom of God here and now, and the glorious consummation and manifestation of God's kingdom on the last day, the day of the great harvest of our Lord. The day when we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The day, as Jesus puts it in his discourse on the end times, when we will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And when Jesus says that the kingdom of God is like a seed planted in the ground, he is saying as such that it cannot, therefore, be analyzed, be measured according to the standards of this world. And oh, how the church, how the kingdom of God is indeed hidden. For what we do so often see with our eyes are those things that can hardly be considered expressions of and characteristics of the kingdom of God. Bickering and arguing between church members over those things that God's word doesn't even address, instead of words and actions of love and kindness toward one another. Apathy. And lack of service in and support of Christ's church, instead of joyful service and first fruits giving. People on a church membership list, but seldom ever in church to worship God. Unconcerned for what is being taught and practiced in the church, rather than contending for the faith that has once for all been entrusted to the church, to use the words of St. Jude. And yet, in spite of all of this, in spite, yes, of our own many failings and sin, in spite of that doom and gloom picture of the church that is being painted these days by so many, both within and without the church, yes, in spite of all appearances to the contrary, we have the promise of Jesus himself that God's kingdom is indeed here among us, the assurance that we are members of his kingdom. And listen to how he puts it in another place. The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And God's kingdom, that is a kingdom of righteousness and peace and joy and life, is indeed here among us, even, yes, within us, because the seed of that kingdom is being planted here. And this seed is the very word of God by which alone he establishes his kingdom, his rule, his life in the hearts of sinful, fickle people like you and like me. And so St. Peter declares in his first epistle, you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. And that is precisely the point of Jesus' parable of the growing seed. For just as a seed that is planted in the ground has some mysterious, wondrous power granted to it by its creator to germinate, to grow, to produce a harvest, so also God's word has a mysterious, wondrous power to grow in the hearts of people and so produce a harvest of righteousness. And the Apostle Paul puts it this way in his epistle to the Romans. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And even, yes, in spite of all appearances to the contrary, in spite of the statistics, we can be absolutely sure and certain that the kingdom of God is indeed here present among us and within us. It is here, you see, because the cross of Jesus Christ, because the forgiveness of sins that he earned for us there by his death on the cross, is proclaimed here among us. The kingdom of God is here among us in this place because the word of God is being read and taught and sung and confessed here in the service, because here holy absolution is bestowed upon us, because here holy baptism is administered in accordance with Christ's word and command, because here the holy supper of our Lord's very body and blood is distributed to us by the authority of his word. And the Augsburg Confession of our Lutheran Church expresses it this way. It is taught among us that the one holy Christian church will be and remain forever. This is the assembly of all believers among whom the gospel is preached in its purity and the holy sacraments are administered according to the gospel. We walk by faith, not by sight, so St. Paul says in today's epistle reading. And we do so, you see, because not everything that counts can be counted. And what this walking by faith and not by sight means in our daily lives can be seen in a couple practical applications of this parable of the growing seed. And first, the task that the Lord has given to us by virtue of our being born again into his family at our baptism, our purpose in life as members of the kingdom of God, the mission of the church, as it were, the work, yes, of every single Christian, is to simply plant the seed of God's word into the hearts of others. Pastoring to people entrusted to their care, parents to children, grandparents to grandchildren, neighbors to others in their community, and to simply leave the result up to God. And so St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, "What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each his task. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth." Now, before James Garfield became president of the United States, he served for a time as president of a college in the state of Ohio. And one day a man asked Garfield if there was a shortcut whereby his son could get through college in less than the usual 4 years and so get on with his career and begin to make some money. To which Garfield replied, "Of course, it all depends on what you want your boy to be. When God wants to grow an oak tree, he takes 100 years. But when he wants to grow a squash, he only takes a few months." And so do not therefore be deterred from the task that the Lord has given you to plant that seed of his word into the hearts and lives of those around you. Do not become discouraged by the apparent lack of success of your labor. And let us not succumb to that ever-present danger and temptation of watering down God's word and changing it in order to make it more appealing to people. After all, God wants oak trees in his kingdom, not squash. He wants those of whom the psalmist said are like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season and whose leaf does not wither. And secondly, while we do not always see the progress, even yes, in our own Christian life as we would like, but instead often see only our sins and our failures, while we do not see the glory and the power and the beauty and the majesty of the church, but often the very opposite, we have here God's sure and certain promise that as we apply ourselves to his divine word, as that word is planted within us, as we continue to hear that word proclaimed among us, the growth of God's kingdom, yes, our own growth in our Christian faith and life, will and does come. And so he promises through the prophet Isaiah, "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I propose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." And Reformer Martin Luther sums it up in these words: "This article, I believe in one, the one holy Christian church, is an article of faith as well as all the rest. That is why reason cannot recognize it, even though it puts on all its glasses. For the devil can cover it up with offenses and sects so that you are offended at it. God, too, can hide it with faults and all sorts of shortcomings so that you become a fool because of them and pass a false judgment upon it. This article refuses to be discovered by sight, but must be attained by faith. And faith pertains to that which we do not see. And even a Christian," he then concludes, "is hidden from himself, so that he does not see his holiness and virtue, but only the lack of these things. In a word, our holiness is in heaven, where Christ is. It is not in the world before the eyes of men. Therefore, let there be offenses and sects, heresies and faults, and let them do what they may. If only the word of the gospel remains pure among us, and we love and cherish it, we should not doubt that Christ is with us even when conditions are at their worst. For wherever the gospel is truthfully and purely proclaimed, there is the kingdom of Christ. Amen." Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.